Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study summary. We're talking about giving thanks to God from Psalm 100. And the point of our study tonight is our thanks and our worship belong to God and God alone. When Americans hear the word Thanksgiving, it's tough to think of anything but the holidays. We look forward to gathering together with our family, and consuming tasty foods, and having good fellowship. But what if all those things have been stripped away? And here for the past couple of years, that it has been diminished quite a bit. Thanksgiving really happens because the giving of thanks is what brings satisfaction to our souls. We give thanks not so much because of the things we receive, but because of the one who gives us those things. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise, so let's look at it. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's how we give thanks. The opening verses suggest three ways. First of all, we can shout. The Hebrew word there talks about a glad noise. The people of God are to praise God loudly because we are happy and because He's God. In this psalm, we see a call to all the people of the world to offer praise to the rightful king of all the earth. We're called to enter his house with gladness about our service and joyfulness in our singing, because we have so much to be thankful for. Everyone is to be involved in praising the Lord. You shouldn't be sitting around when everyone else is thanking the Lord for things in their lives and the way things are going in their lives, and you just sit there like a lump. When we verbally declare our praise for Him, it glorifies His name, and it brings Him into our presence. May God give us all a shout in our soul that won't remain silent. We'll let it out. Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." So we can shout. We can also worship, or the word is serve. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Worship leads to service, and true service is worship. We should worship and serve the Lord simply because He's worthy of our service, and He's worthy of our worship. The word serve means living a life that pleases the Lord. And gladness literally means mirth or joy. Instead of seeing our services as a chore, we should look at our service to the Lord as a cause for rejoicing. We're to never allow our work for the Lord to become a grind in our lives. We're to view it as a privilege given to those who have been redeemed by the Lord to do His work in this world. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:9, we're not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Obedience is an expression of worship to the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we can shout, we can worship or serve, and we can come. This is one of the chief ways that the church carries out the Great Commission. We serve to every nation, every tribe, every people, every language to gather before God's throne. We come together in public worship since the psalm really does describe God's people coming to the temple. We're to gather together to worship, to serve, and together we express our thanks to our Lord. It's certainly true that you can worship God by yourself, but when we come together, we get to encourage one another. You see, obeying these three commands, shout, worship, come, leads to a life of thanksgiving, one that embraces personal evangelism, community service, and a really exciting, vibrant church, all of which are essential parts of the Christian life. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The next command is know. Know. The psalmist reminded us that our thanksgiving to God must engage our minds and our hearts. We must know the one to whom we're going to give thanks. When Paul stood in Athens to address the people, he said in Acts 17:23, "So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Wow, that man could preach. We can neither thank nor worship God without knowing who he is. We should help others acknowledge God as well. What is it that we should acknowledge about God? Well, we see two aspects of that in verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture." First of all, God's our creator. If we fail to acknowledge God as our creator, we're going to get in all kinds of trouble. You know, there's some people think that there is no creator, and they choose to rely on science alone to explain our existence. They try to explain away their need for God. We all know the term. It's called evolution. We started as a little spot, and the next thing you know, you're a PhD at Harvard. If we got where we are by ourselves, we have no one but ourselves to blame for the condition we're in. So not only is he our creator, he's our shepherd. Acknowledging God only as creator makes him seem distant and uninvolved in the day-to-day actions of our lives. But God is also a shepherd. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. That makes God personal. That makes God close to us. God as our shepherd is a very personal expression. One that's repeated over and over again in the scripture. And when we acknowledge and thank God as our creator and our shepherd, let's remember that next phrase. We are his people. Regardless of what may come our way, we are still his people. Circumstances may not always be kind to us. Troubles are always going to come our way. Life just happens. But no matter what, because we have acknowledged him, we are his. Now look at verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." The psalmist continued. He used three commands in that invitation. Enter, give thanks, and praise. You see, the people of God are strengthened and God's blessed when we gather together for thanks and praise. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." God is good all the time. God is love all the time. God is faithful all the time. The same God who was there for the saints in the Old Testament is there for us in our time of need as well. We can look back to the times of God's faithfulness in our past for coverage for what's going to happen in the future. And as a result, every generation can enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. His goodness, his love, his faithfulness lead us to give thanks and praise to him. Amen? Well, that's just the end of our summary for our Wednesday night Bible study. I trust that the Lord's blessed your heart over it. But you know what? Sunday's coming, and I'm going to be preaching Greater Love. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful sermon, and I trust that you'll come and be part of the service with us. As I just said a few minutes ago, God is good all the time.